fully support production agriculture, so if we're not going to grow a loaf of bread, we should at least try to be growing wool shirts and leg of lambs and any bees and honey and any of the other agrivoltaic enterprises that may be available on these solar farms going into the future in our county. So with that, I thank you for your guys' time and the questions that you presented earlier. And again, I speak highly of the companies that I've been visiting with and trying to develop a relationship with. One Solar has been great and working with me and reaching out to me and listening and discussing ideas of how we can advance a proposal into this climate with this growing conditions that, you know, meets our no weed goals of our communities or some of the overarching goals that we have as a agricultural community. So thank you guys for your time, and I appreciate it.
Okay, and now we'll ask for if there are any proponents, apparently, possibly online, opponents, or anyone that'd like to speak neutral. Is anybody in the Planning Commission?
I did have one question.
Okay.
Is there anything in our talk with the solar farm? Seems like we had some talk about the battery storage buildings with these.
They did cover that.
They're going to have some, but...
Right. Or possibly.
Possibly have some.
Possibly.
Which works in the daytime, but then doesn't do very much at night.
Battery storage does.
I think they go 8 hours or something like battery. Is that right? Don't the batteries last 8 hours or so?
Will come back on record. Or?
Sure.
They're asking you. You bet.
I'm really asking if there's a rule. Do if the county has any restrictions or that we require or the battery storage to go with the solar?
No,
we don't. That pretty much answered what I
want. Oh, okay. But just a question, that they are short life batteries, don't they last 8 or 12 hours, not long, or am I wrong on
that? You can configure it as you like to. The most common is 4 hours.
4 hours,
The way that the intent there is kind of what I was talking about before. The peak energy use usually happens between about 5 and 8 o'clock p.m., or 4 and 8 maybe, some days. In the summertime, you get a lot of people come home from work, they turn on their TVs and their refrigerators are going in there because they're pulling food out of it, and the electricity use peaks when people get home from work. And then right up until they go to bed kind of thing. So that's about 4 hours is the peak, almost everywhere in the country, and almost always that same exact 4 hour chunk. So when you do put battery storage in, the short-term battery storage with lithium ion, it's usually about 4 hours. So what you can do is, instead of taking power and wasting it on in the middle of the day when nobody's home and nobody's using electricity, you put it in the battery instead, right? And then at 8 p.m. when the solar's not generating anything in January, you discharge from the battery instead. So the battery can discharge any time of day, which helps out with the intermittency of solar.
Thank you.
That's a good explanation.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got the point accurately. We ask if anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold open the
opposition.
We already asked for the opposition. We didn't get any.
Okay.
Right?
Didn't
we?
Yes, you did.
Well, we've covered everybody here.
You covered it.
Yeah. And so I ask if anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold open the record with regards to this. We just got this.
Yeah. So that was came out of a conversation that we had in regards to the ag mitigation discussion, which so after we had already received all the materials and deemed it complete, we started having this conversation on kind of a larger scale about how do we view farmland and how do we mitigate taking farmland out of production. And then they came back with this proposal that involves grazing, and you know, we're excited about that. But we had included a condition of approval under the conditional use permit to PEEB findings.
And that's pages 73, 74, and 75.
Yeah, that they submit an agricultural mitigation plan that includes an economic impact analysis evaluating the impacts of removal from farmland. So we feel, and if the Planning Commission agrees, that the grazing program could be a sufficient mitigation for the Goal 3 exception, we can adopt it. I would recommend from a staff perspective that the way that the revised Condition 3 is worded, that it incorporates the sheep grazing program, but it doesn't account for the possibility that it's not successful or it's not profitable. So if they decide to reverse course or not follow through with the grazing plan, I would like to have a caveat in that condition that acknowledges that we could potentially go back and revisit the ag mitigation plan. So if we can phrase it that way.
And I'll just say,
I haven't even had a chance to look at
right.
this.
Yeah. So this looks like a really large packet. Mm-hmm. So, but the purpose of this really is all about condition number 3 on page 73. Mm-hmm. And so the Elaine and the team have come up with revised condition 3, and then Daisy just added a little bit of extra language so that if the grazing doesn't work out, that they can then opt to have an ag mitigation plan.
What might that entail?
I don't know.
I mean,
a lot of what we do is based on trust, right? Like, yeah.
No, I
don't
mean,
know
what
looks like.
You know, what would an ag mitigation plan look like? What would we do to offset this?
So we now have a precedent with 2 other solar projects mm-hmm. in the county. Not permitted locally, permitted by the state, where they hired Eco Northwest. Both of them hired the same economics firm, and they quantified what the direct and indirect economic impacts would be of removing both cases where dry land wheat from production, and they came up with a formula. And the direct impacts are actually positive because the landowners will make more money leasing the land. And most of the farmers also do their own farming, so there might be 1 or 2 employees that might be displaced. And it's the indirect impacts that, and Elaine has her hand raised up, but it's the indirect impacts, like proportionately it's removing business from some of those, from Morrow County grain growers, for example, or some of the commodity brokers, or from people whom you buy fuel from. So they've come up with a formula. I'm happy to show you those. The Board of Commissioners last week just approved an ag mitigation plan for Pine Gate Renewables. They're going to upfront a pretty large amount of money, and those monies have to be reinvested into something that would directly benefit dryland wheat. So there's several options. The board's going to, it's really complicated. So that's why we leave it open to the individual applicant to come up with an ag mitigation plan. So I just described one that doesn't have anything to do with this project, but that's what it looks like.
That was the Pine Gate one.
That's the Pine Gate. And then, that's right. And then another project is coming up with a different one. So. And the reason is they're not proposing a combined use. There will be no agriculture use on those projects, unlike this project that has the combined farming use with the solar project. So when they pushed back and said, oh, we really don't want to do that because we think we're not removing it all from ag use. And
This is the first one that I've heard that's had a lot of the addresses some of the negative impacts that I've heard as far as vegetation.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And why can't they graze sheep? Well, I don't know why they can't graze sheep. I've always heard they can't, but apparently you think they can.
Right. That's right, yeah.
It's a matter of the establishment of some vegetation that's valuable, it seems like.
And so... I want to, Elaine wants to talk, and then we might need to talk about the mechanics of how we do this. Do you have actual specific wording languages?
No, Elaine might have some suggestions, but we can just read whatever revision we're going to be putting in there and then adopt it.
So even though this, again, looks like a big packet, the substance of it is on the second page of the packet with a revised condition, which means if you are inclined to approve the conditional use permit, you would remove, you would modify condition number 3 and substitute this language. But we also need to change that language just a little bit. Do you have some language to address the things?
I was going to suggest, I understand the concern, and my suggestion would be you have the ability by reviewing the final and approving the final to determine the success criteria. So my suggestion is that you require the applicant to include success criteria in the vegetation and weed management plan for the sheep grazing program, such that then the county has some, you know, threshold to measure what is success for the successful implementation of the program. And then if those success criteria are not being met, then the county has recourse to require adaptive management to ensure that they are, or the plan needs to be amended to you know, propose a different alternative. That's a technique that we use oftentimes with habitat mitigation to ensure that the mitigation measures being implemented are actually working.
Yeah, I just, when I saw this letter come in this late, 30 pages, I looked at it.
That's right. That's why we just did
Most of it is just background information for you. So it was sharing with you Chad Higgins' research on agrovoltaics, and also providing some information on the Montague project that Cameron was talking about. So really the bulk of it is just the letter to you.
So I'll ask the question one more time. If anyone would like to continue the hearing or hold the record open, or would you like to close the public hearing at this point? So first question.
I'd like to close it.
Okay. I'll second that.
All right. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Well, there is no motion for the to continue that. All right. Okay.
So what are we adding to this thing?
So, Daisy, with your help.
Yeah.
So if you, I think we, the findings for the, you'll need two separate motions. One is to accept the findings and recommend to the Board of Commissioners that they approve AC-153-24, which is the comp plan amendment. And then the second one, if you're inclined to approve the conditional use permit, to accept the findings, and I think the only change that we've been talking about tonight is to replace condition number 3 with the language in this packet you just received. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if we need to change that language, just acknowledging that if that vegetation and weed management plan would have to include success criteria to measure the effectiveness of sheep grazing, and if that isn't effective, then we'll go to and they'll be obligated to have a agriculture mitigation plan.
So are we dealing with both of these, or just the first one at this point?
Well, that's why I said there's two motions, two separate motions.
And the motion language is included on your thing there, just if you wanted to.
Yeah, because that's what I'm saying. If we have some conditions of the second phase that we'd like to talk about, we can talk about that when we get to
okay,
that point.
You can do whatever you'd like. If you want to take care of if you want to take care of the plan amendment piece first, that one seems fairly straightforward.
Okay, I'd like to call for a motion to approve AC-153-24 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Goal Exception 3 for Passage 1 Solar.
And that's a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, okay.
I would recommend that we approve AC-153-24 to the Commissioners for their approval.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed.
And Commissioner Finch, did you? Oh, he was abstaining from voting. Okay.
Yes.
Yes. Do you still want to abstain?
And I'll revise that BOC findings to reflect that. Right.
Okay. Okay. Perfect.
And so now on the second action on CUP and 364-24 Passing Solar One Energy, this is a conditional use permit.
Yes.
If we're going to if we have any suggestions for conditional use permit in addition, which I have a couple of thoughts.
Okay.
I already mentioned one about the hydroseeding. Can we ask for that as a conditional use?
As a condition of approval, to ask, require that they do hydroseeding?
I think that would be included in the vegetation and weed management plan that Elaine had discussed.
Yeah. I understand that it's an ambitious project and it's unusual, but I do agree that that would probably be covered in the vegetation and weed management plan. And remember, there might be new technology 5 or 10 years from now that's more effective than something like hydroseeding. So if we say you have to do hydroseeding,
I'm pretty comfortable that the lessors in this case are going to make sure this isn't a big weed bomb.
Well, it'll be the first one.
It's just my guess.
Yeah.
But okay. I do appreciate the commission's concern because we've been spending a lot of time with Public Works and our weed folks, and they are, to say overwhelmed with weed abatement from renewable energy projects is a significant understatement. So we're all getting smarter, which makes it harder on the developers, but hopefully the county's interest, because they're years behind being caught up with weed issues right now.
I really like the proposal.
But you know, you guys, if you do that, then all the other solar projects are gonna have to do the same thing.
Well, this is in the county, but I like the precedent.
Well, we probably better, you know, invest in hydroseeders.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There's your other income source.
I'm just hoping that the confidential mitigation project doesn't entail introduction of large canine predators.
The only other thing
since it's confidential, excuse
me, so
read political it. There.
Yeah, really. By the Board of Fire Department, they recommended a 24-foot or 26-foot fire break. Is that something we can adjust?
The Boardman Fire and Rescue District had, or no, wasn't. I need to change that. It was Marty Broadbent as the fire marshal.
Yeah.
Okay. And recommended or approved the fire variance that allows them to do this fire buffer, the 26-foot fire buffer, as an alternative to having a non-combustible base for the project. So that was the way that it was recommended by the fire marshal, so we're just adopting that language that was approved in the variance.
And that language would need to change a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So instead of Boardman Fire and Rescue District, it's the fire marshal.
Yeah.
The countywide fire marshal comes out of the Boardman Fire District.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is, I think that was adapted because we're not doing sterilant and gravel underneath. We're doing grazing in this project.
And it's not a non-vegetated buffer. It's a non-combustible buffer. So we'll change that language if approved by the Planning Commission to say,
perfect.
In accordance with the fire variance granted by the county fire marshal, applicant shall provide a 26-foot non-combustible buffer around the perimeter of the project, if that's appropriate.
So we're adding that to CUP.
It's just changing condition number 10 a little bit.
So are there any other comments on the conditional use section of this by the commissioners?
I have one question. We earlier talked about condition 7, the financial assurance.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I did see in Nathan's proposal, I wrote a note thinking you'd want some sort of annual assurance to that, but I think Nathan and Elaine had something a little bit different. Instead of showing your bond that you're current annually for a bond, you had it phased in. Is that what you... Because you said the scrap value is greater than the bond would be, so rather than a letter of credit or bond annually, you would bring it in at a certain year? Is that how you presented it?
Yeah, what we usually do, and what I believe is in the lease, would be the later of either the 10-year anniversary of the operations date or the end of the power purchase agreement with the off-taker, which would be anywhere from 15 to 25 years. And so the idea behind phasing it in is that an operational solar project is worth a heck of a lot of money when it's working. even if One Energy goes under as a company, that asset is worth a lot of money. Somebody is going to buy it off of us in bankruptcy, and they're going to operate it, especially if there's a contract to procure the power from that project. And so, you know, like I said, even if we go under and can't post that bond, somebody else is going to step in, buy the project, and post their own bond. And so that's why, you know, we see there's not really a need for a decommissioning bond right away, but to phase that in later. That's usually the way that we approach it. Like I said, different counties do different things, but that'd be our proposal. And then along with what Tamara said, too, if for some reason the project went defunct at year 15, certainly the salvage value of the project would cover the cost of removing it, recycling and everything.
So can I ask, if it's okay, Chair, you and Elaine, the way the condition is written, it says proof of financial assurance prior to construction.
So,
and you guys didn't comment on that, but I'm thinking you want to.
Yeah, I think it was a misunderstanding on our part. And Elaine, correct me when I'm wrong here, but because I'm going to be. But I assume that it meant proof that we could post a bond. And I know that doesn't make sense.
Financial assurance.
That's what I thought you meant by that.
Okay.
So, you know, we're happy to show you proof that we have a bonding ability, but we would prefer to post the bond at, like I said, later of year 10 or the end of the power purchase agreement.
So starting in year 10... We want to
okay, because I'm just a planner. I know nothing about these financial things. So I would have said I need actual that letter of credit before you start construction. So do you want to change that so that at year 10?
Yeah, if year 10 works for y'all, that would work for us.
There again, I think it's going to fall back upon the landowners. They're going to want that in place.
So. Right, but remember, there's a separate, their assurance is separate than what they're giving, like the county writ large, right? So what would be some good language there? Proof of financial assurance beginning at year 10 or at the end of year 10 of the project?
The 10th anniversary of the operation.
Proof of bond.
Submit at end of year 10. And I'll strike out the prior to concern.
It's more important to the lessor, the Russ, that it's, that's in place than it is to the rest of the county.
I guess it is, except for if we actually have 18,000 acres of these things at some point in time.
Yeah, it's a yin and, I mean,
I know, but they're going to make sure it's a place, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I get it, yeah.
There are plenty of projects, and we're not privy to those lease agreements,
right.
And we don't ask for those. So it's the landowner's obligation to protect their own interests,
right.
And it's ours. And when we are doing code enforcement or compliance, we have to have a standard that is ours to enforce. We have no ability to enforce a third-party agreement.
But it is these conditions do run with the land. So if
they do
in
run
the,
with the land.
Worst case scenario, yep. If they run out of business or whatever, it's still the landowner's responsibility to make sure that decommissioning happens, right?
Yeah.
And the county is responsible for enforcing that. Is that right?
That's right, because the permit, it follows the land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I guess my question at this point is if they quit producing power out of this thing in the future, are they required, are, say, the people that own the property want to leave them there? Are they required to take them out?
They're required to take them out. That's why they have a decommissioning plan.
Okay.
And then some financial assurance that said, you're not selling it anymore.
Okay.
If you're not using
the great big wind turbines aren't the concern for the wind turbines as the solar are. That's the little tiny wind turbines when you go to Palm Springs that are all half tipped over on their sides, you know, they're 10 feet apart. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I just want to make sure that that I'm understanding what the commission wants and that the developer and the landowner are comfortable with it.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Two different financial assurances. Okay. So if the Planning Commission wanted to approve the conditional use permit, staff would recommend replacing language 3 with the language 3 in this handout.
Okay.
And then the small modification condition number 7, that would be not prior to construction, but submit annual proof of bonding beginning at the end of year 10.
So I would make a motion, but I really don't want to repeat what you just said. So with staff's recommendations to those changes that we approved CUP-N-364-24, and we move it on to the...
No, you're done with this.
Oh, we're done
this
with
one
this
doesn't
part.
Go to the board. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Then you've got what Brian's motion
with what?
Was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
good.
Did you get it all?
Yeah, Kayla. It's recorded.
She's got it. Yeah, we got it. We got it.
It's a little vague. I guess we could read it back.
Yeah. And also the minor word change
on
number 10, so it's fire marshal, not...
Including the minor change on 10.
Got it. So just change, again, for the record, minor changes, replacing condition 3, minor change to condition 7, and a minor wording changes to condition number 10.
That's my motion.
There you go. It's the Thompson Smith show tonight.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed.
Okay.
Okay.
Super interesting. You guys did really good.
You guys are really easy to work with, too.
That's good stuff. Great.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah. Appreciate your time. I know it's super
late.
Elaine didn't drive up
Thank
the gorge
you.
Today.
Did you hear that, Elaine? They missed you.
I saved some miles today.
I bet you have. There you go. Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
It's snowing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Elaine.
Thank your staff. They're great.
And they have still one more item on the agenda.
And Stephen is the planner on the next one, and he promises that it's really quick.
It's been a minute since I did one of these.
It's been a minute. He's going to do it from there. Do you want to just open the hearing on that one?
Yeah, I'm going to open the hearing on CUP-365-24, Jacob Brand, applicant.
Thank you. Did you open the hearing? I did. Okay. He did. I was waiting for the room to kind of settle down after that. So, conditional use request CUP South 365-24 is a request to allow a home occupation in an exclusive farm use zone. The applicant and owner is Jacob Trahan of TS Firearms Solutions, LLC. Property location is approximately 2 miles west of the town of Lexington on Highway 74. The parcel is approximately 20 acres in size and zoned exclusive farm use and is outside of the town of Lexington urban growth boundary. The subject application is a request for a home occupation to allow firearms dealing, repairs, and general gunsmithing. The application indicates that the activities will be secondary to the resident and the residence, and the activities will take place in an existing garage on the property. Existing access is off of Highway 74. ODOT was provided notice of the request and provided an opportunity to comment. I have not received any comment from ODOT. There's no increase in street dedication, roadway width or improvements in the right-of-way that are proposed by the applicant. And the preliminary findings of fact have been provided to the Moore County Public Works for their review and comment. Primary use for the property is residential, and the dwelling is the applicant's home, and they will be conducting the home occupation, like so, within an existing garage. And so that there's no secondary or additional structures that are proposed in this application. The permit allows the use that benefits the permit owner. And is valid until the uses no longer exist or the ownership of the land changes. And then at that time, the new landowner would have to reapply for a conditional use permit as a continued use if they chose to continue that same type of business. The proposed activities are subject to annual review for the home occupation. There's two conditions of approval. The first one is the applicant shall maintain the home occupation as presented in the application. If complaints are received, it is found that the permit is being performed outside of what's been proposed and approved, the applicant will be responsible for paying applicable review and renewal application fees. And the second conditional use condition of approval is that the permit's valid again until the use no longer exists or the ownership of the land changes. And that concludes my staff report. If there's any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Are you able to zoom in on this property? I have a question.
Know what it is? It's when you come down and you have Harrison, 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 and then Ross McKinley. It's right above Ross by the Silver Creek gravel pit, gravel area.
Is it? It's not the one that's up on the hill, the new construction, or
it's up on the hill right above Ross McKinley's.
That's a new manufactured home that's up.
Yep,
okay.
And you go up that.
I was trying to figure out where it was. Okay, so they broke off 20 acres there recently.
Yes.
So that's where.
It is. Yeah, it's a non-farm dwelling piece.
Okay.
Yeah, the signage though is what, like 16 feet? Do they have to, ODOT have to approve that signage? If it's off the state highway?
They
for
do.
For the business?
The signage said it was like, it was really small, 30 square inches. What was it?
I don't know that they'll be able to have any sign that's visible
like
from the
20
highway.
20 by 20 sign or something.
Oh, I thought I saw 200 inches.
20 by 10.
Stephen, are they proposing a sign?
I have it here. Give me a second.
One answer. Sign.
I didn't even look at this one. Because they would need to get
that,
approval
it was,
from ODOT.
It was 200 square inches, I think you're right.
Oh, square? Yeah.
Yeah, so that'd be 20 by 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's one non-illuminated sign not to exceed 200 square inches and bearing only the name and the occupation of the resident shall be permitted.
But there's, we might want to add the condition, if it's visible from the state highway has to approve it.
The sign.
Okay.
The sign, yeah.
And I don't think his, I mean, from what I bet his business is not determined by a sign.
Yeah, people, you.
Like you're seeking him out.
You want to be discreet about it, too.
He works for, on his
mail order, and it's not a retail type of business. I mean, the obvious question is he going to be shooting guns there as part of his business?
No.
It doesn't sound as if he is, but I can see where a neighbor might not like that.
No, there's no shooting proposed. It's just gunsmithing.
Yeah.
Gunsmithing and firearm dealing.
He's not stealing out of the home, correct? He's
proposing
selling, like, if they come in and he has some.
It just says he's proposing.
It
says he is.
License?
What page is that?
Page 209.
209. He is a partner for FFL. That's why
under finding
ATF injury. Called a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
And this is part of their process to get a local permitting approval. So this is part of his FFL process. He will be selling firearms from the home.
From the home. Yeah.
And general gunsmithing.
And he's not asking to be able to have a range there firing.
No, correct.
I mean, his gun issue, he needs to be asking for it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are fixing guns, are you not going to shoot them, sight them?
Apparently not.
Maybe dry shoot, dry fire.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was why I asked the question, but it's not as part of the application.
Yeah, it is not part of the application. Can I suggest that condition number three, that if the sign is visible from the state highway, they'll need to receive permission from ODOT.
Okay.
That's it.
So he's got proposed a small sign at the base of the driveway.
That's visible from the state highway.
It's on the state highway.
Correct. Yeah.
So our condition of approval is that he obtains approval from the state highway to make that legal.
If he wants to put a sign that's visible.
Right.
And that might just be a really quick phone call.
Yeah, he has to comply with.
Yeah. If he's going to spend money on a nice sign and then ODOT tells him to take it down, he should just check first.
It's on his property. Does his property come down to the road?
His access.
Isn't that in Silver Creek?
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
Am I not sharing my screen anymore here? Let me share the screen.
Yeah. He's got a new road.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't know if it was an easement or.
No, these guys on the road. It's off to the left.
He's right along the highway.
It's right over there. It's towards Iowa.
Just for clarification, this may be a question.
Can I ask, exclusive farm use has specific uses that we can use, or is that why we're doing conditional use permit?
Yeah, it is. So a home occupation is allowed in an EFU zone.
Conditional.
As a conditional use, yeah.
So they didn't do this as a non-farm parcel, this is still the FDU.
It was a non-farm parcel. When was that parcel created, Stephen?
Oh, man, Jeff sold this.
I don't know. I think 2 years ago, somewhere around that time frame.
This was, yeah.
How did they partition this off in less than 160 if it's not a non-farm?
It's a non-farm dwelling parcel.
Yeah.
Oh. So that doesn't change the zone.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a non-agricultural business, so it's not subject to a farm stand.
Comment. I'm not here this Friday, so don't ask me.
Okay. Thursday.
Oh, it is zoned exclusive farm use. That's where I got it. As like, okay, because there's so many restrictions on exclusive farm use land.
So many, exactly.
I was confused at why we were. Yeah. Anyway, that's whatever.
And there are lots of things we can do, like all the conditional uses. Our Article 6 update a few years ago. We can process them administratively, but home occupations were one of those things that Planning Commission specifically said they still want to see home occupations. We've had this huge wide range of home occupations, and so that actually is pretty prudent. Like a trucking operation in a residential zone was a home occupation, wasn't the most successful approach.
So the parent parcel is 2004. The remainder is 796. So they partitioned off this 2005 here. This was, I believe, Skyview and Silver Creek, I believe, owns right. this. I could be wrong.
That's correct. You're right. Okay.
Duncan, so
Michael. To the point where we're going to invite any proponents to testify. Are we there yet?
You can. It's just us, but you should probably go through the motions and ask.
Yeah, do we do conflicts of interest too? Ex parte contact.
I know, we updated that, and I was just wondering, maybe we made it too complicated.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm asking the applicant or the proponent to present any testimony or evidence.
And we don't have an applicant.
And we don't have any, and I don't think we have anyone that's going to be opposed to it. No. More questions for the Planning Commission, for the staff? No. Okay.
You can close the public hearing.
I can close the public hearing at this point.
Can you make a motion?
A motion we close the public hearing.
What? I was just
making sure that no one wanted to
make a motion.
So what are our changes? Sorry to do this. What do we change? What's our additional?
So you would make a motion to adopt the findings with a new condition number 3?
On the sign?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then approve?
So what do we call this one? I make a motion that we approve CUP-5-365-24 with the condition of approval that the applicant obtains permission from the Oregon Department of Transportation for any signage that they might put up.
And adopt the findings.
And adopt.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, those seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay. Okay. All opposed.
Good work.
Okay. Is there something else on my agenda? We'll get back to that.
We just included the monthly update, and I still get to do a monthly update at our department heads to the board. So we just include that. So you have a picture of other stuff that we're working on.
I see that. Okay.
A lot of water is exactly right.
Yeah. Let's hear the
it's all
right there. Trying to move along.
Yeah. Happy to answer any questions, but it's there.
The notebook?
Okay.
That's
nice.
The correspondence?
No.
Public comment? Okay.
Public comment? Nice. That's a really, I like that project. Stacy did all the work. I just kind of popped in.
Well, it was a bit of a rush. We kind of told them we would get it on the
highway.
Yeah, although ODOT has some pretty strict, because they're, you know, when glare. You go to Pendleton and you have the glare, that was a real issue there.
Honestly, that's a long time. I know that lower country as good as anybody. I've never been there.
Oh, that particular piece?
They originally wanted to put that gun shop in the Route 74 restaurant. And it's like, have some dinner, have a beer, and have a gun shop. They wanted to buy it.
And like, why did you want a grill in a bar?
People would sell it anyway. So.
Yeah. I mean, $110? There's $40. I'm not, they're going to make more money. Even if they put the sheep in there for free, it's going to probably make as much money.
Yeah.
Like, if CRP went on, I'm pretty sure I'd still just run. After I got brain.